Well, welcome everyone to a new season of Boston University Hockey and a new season of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined here by Boston University head coach Jay Pandolfo as we get ready to drop the puck on the 2023-24 season for the Boston University Terriers. Jay, welcome, and hopefully the offseason treated you well and got you ready for a Boston University season that seems to have great anticipation surrounding it.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. Thanks for having me. Yes, it was a good off season, but I'm certainly chomping at the bit to get going again here. And, you know, we've had a good, really good first month of practice, limited hours. But now we're free to get back to practicing, you know, every day and get ready for our first game Saturday.
Well, getting ready for the first game, you as you've had the last couple of years, you opened the scrimmage on Saturday, you know, 1 week before the season as we get ready for Bentley and trip to Waltham. And red and white scrimmage was a 7-3 victory for white over red in the inter-squad scrimmage. And I would suspect a number of positives that were on display. I had an opportunity to attend. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Macklin Celebrini has made the team.
I think that's a pretty good bet that he should be able to make the team his first year. He was, you know, clearly a pretty good player out there. Those scrimmages are tough to judge just because of the lack of numbers on either side. I thought the pace of the scrimmage was good early on, and it's tough. You have two lines on each side, two sets of D, so the pace goes down a little bit, and you know things break down a bit, but I did like a lot of the things I saw from our guys. They were still competing and still trying to play the right way. So there was a lot of players that did really well.
Oh, indeed. Case in point, with a couple of guys, Nick Sabanay, returning from an injury at the end of last season. It seemed like he had a good jump in his step. Devin Kaplan had a nice goal. And a guy that will factor in, it looks like he'll be part of your power play unit with net front presence. Shane LaChance had a couple of redirect goals.
Yeah, he's been really consistent throughout the whole training camp. We've been scrimmaging, you know, pretty much every Saturday, and he's been productive in all of them. He's very good around the net. He knows what he is as a player. Knows what helps him have success, and he plays to his identity, and part of it is getting around the net, getting to the net. He's got great hands around the net, great hand eye that you saw on Saturday where he tips a lot of pucks, so he's been really good.
Breaking down the combinations, and we look back, we knew that there was going to be somewhat of a different look up front with what was lost from last year. You know, I'm just looking at the line chart that you finished up with last season. Jay O'Brien was centering the first line, Ethan Phillips on the right. You had Matt Brown flanking to the left. All three of them departed. Also, Wilmer Skoog, who was injured at the end of last season but was a prominent member of the team, and Jamie Armstrong, who went to the transfer portal. So there was going to be at least five new faces up front. Let's take a look first at the forward lines, Jay. The much-heralded Macklin Celebrini coming in. His story has been often told before Boston University with the expectations for him and his talent level. You had him with a couple of your returning sophomores this season. The four impact forwards up front that really carried you early in the season last year. Well, Celebrini here in the early going looks like he'll be paired with two of them, with Quinn Hudson on the right side and Jeremy Wilmer on the left. That looks like a combination that has a lot of very significant ingredients to be productive this year.
Yeah, they've been together probably for the last week. I've tried a lot of different combinations with all the centers and have mixed and matched the wingers, just trying to see who fits best. I know a few lines that I know have played together last year, so I know I can always go back to those. We're going to give some different lines some looks. That line was very productive on Saturday. They've been very productive in practice. They got a bit of everything. Quinn Hudson's a natural goal scorer. Wilmer's a natural passer, a great playmaker. And Celebrini does a bit of everything. So it was a good combination on Saturday. So, you know, we'll probably stick with that going into the first week as long as Celebrini's cleared to go.
And a veteran presence with Nick Sabanay returning along with fellow seniors Peterson on the right side and Tuck on the left. That looks like a combination, once again, that has some important elements that they'll bring to the ice to be successful and to be able to complement each other.
Yeah, Zabinet and Peterson started playing together for the last month of the season, 2 months of the season last year. And they have great chemistry together. And we just feel like with Luke Tuck's size, too, to add that element, you have two big wingers, two powerful wingers, power forward types with Zabinet's speed. They're going to be a handful, a real handful to handle. They play with pace. They compete. They get to the net. They have a lot of speed. They have a bit of everything as well. So it's been a very good combination. I've had them together for a lot of this camp, and they've been very good and very impressive.
Ryan Green spending a lot of time with Devin Kaplan. Mentioned Kaplan was impressive on the right side with what he brings with his size and his also his scoring ability. Green, who got off to such a great start, really was one of the guys carrying the offense the early part of the year last year. Kind of like all the freshmen, they kind of hit a little bit of that freshman wall to be able to persevere and work their way through. But Green, Kaplan, they were working with Shane LaChance and seemed to be working very well together in the scrimmage.
Yeah, Ryan Green's a great player, great 200-foot player, can really skate. He, I think for him, too, he wants to just make sure he has a more consistent year from start to finish. You know, he played a lot with Wilmer and Quinn Hudson last year, so we can always go back to that if need be. But Kaplan spent, you know, he spent some time with Brown and Skoog, but a lot of the time last year he spent with Stevens and Armstrong. So moving him up with Greeny, you know, gives Greeny a little size on his wing. And we've had Jack Hughes there a little bit with those guys, but Hughes didn't scrimmage the other day, so we'll see what his status is. And Shane LaChance has been playing with them a little bit. So, again, Green has size on both his wings. You know, I think it gives him a little bit more space to use his speed when he has the big wingers.
And speaking of size, I know Stevens has been paired. You know, the way things go now with line combinations, sometimes you're talking a center who's a little bit more engaged with a winger. Stevens and Grimes are a couple of guys that are certainly going to give size and physicality no matter who's going to be on the other side with them. But I think you seem to like the way that those two guys have worked together. Stevens, the veteran, and Grimes, an older, bigger, stronger freshman, which is one of the things that you addressed about your team identity this year.
Yeah, Sam Stevens can play with anyone. He's very easy to play with, very good defensive center, very good penalty killer. But he can add some offense as well, too. So, you know, we expect all our lines to be productive. We've had him matched up, a chance to play with him a little bit. Grimes, Tristan Amonte, who's had a very good camp up to this point. Him and Stevens have played together in the past. So we'll mix and match that a little bit as well.
Indeed the case. And you mentioned, I guess, the only question from a health standpoint here as we gear up for the opener against Bentley is a question about Hughes, who you held out last weekend. And hopefully he can maybe work his way to also being included in the lineup and giving you everybody being available.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He's day-to-day right now. Hasn't practiced the first 2 days of the week here, so we'll see where that goes. Hopefully I'll get on the ice tomorrow and be able to get a couple practices in, but that's to be determined at this point. But he's also kind of getting used to the way we play, the way we practice, and he's getting better every week, and it's, you know, it's disappointing for us and for him that wasn't able to partake in the scrimmage on Saturday, and he's out for a couple days, but we expect him to be back soon.
Yeah, Hughes transfer from Northeastern, where he was on the Hockey East All-Rookie team as a freshman 2 years ago. Defensively, things look a lot different, a lot deeper, dare I say it. You know, you had the four returnees, and it looks like you'll be pairing, not surprisingly, the four returnees to begin the season on your top two defensive sets with the fact that one of your very highly touted freshmen is going to have to sit out a game.
Yeah, Willander is suspended for one game, so you know he won't be in the lineup against Bentley. Most likely we'll play Lane Hudson with Case McCarthy. They spent a lot of time playing together last year, so yep. We'll start with that pairing again, and then Cade Weber will be probably playing with Gallagher the first game, and they've played a little bit in the past together as well, so we'll have our veteran guys in the top four, and then we'll probably mix and match the bottom pair, depending on, you know, what Saturday looks like. You know, we're still a few days away here before we decide exactly who's going to be in the back end, but some of our young freshmen have looked really good. Gavin McCarthy, Aiden Celebrini, Mick Frechette, they've all had very good camps. They're all pushing to be part of our lineup. Jack Page looks a lot stronger. He's had an excellent camp as well. And Thomas Jarman, too. All our guys are pushing, which is great. And that's what we wanted. We wanted that internal competition. It just makes your team better and keeps guys honest. And, guys have to play consistent. And that's what we want. And so it's been really good up to this point.
No doubt. And I know you've talked about the fact that you might be more inclined, Jay, to dressing the extra defenseman as opposed to the extra forward. It might be a 12-7 as opposed to a 13-6 for your skaters.
Yeah, last year there was a lot of 13-6. Just felt like that was the strength of our team up front in the depth, and just felt like that was the way to go. This year, we still have great depth, but I would prefer to play 12-7. It's just really hard to play 13 mm-hmm. forwards, I feel like. So we'll probably play more 12-7. I say that now, and who knows what's going to happen. But
yep,
it can change. You never know what happens with injuries or this or that. But yeah, right now the plan would probably be to have the look of 12-7 more often than not.
And of course, the goalie. They talk about football, the quarterback room, the goalie room. The goalie room was vacated last year. You knew it was going to all be different with Commesso and DuPlessis and Shenna all departing the program. And the three guys that are there now with Matt Caron transferring from Brown, 48 games of varsity experience, and honored at Brown with his performance there. He had some stellar games for Brown over the course of his 2 years in the cage. Also a transfer from UMass with Graham coming to the program with Henry Graham. And then also adding another transfer with Nick Howard. So that position looks completely different. Your assessment of the position and the obvious the fact that Corona is certainly the favorite to be the number one goalie, and why wouldn't he be with his experience and his play over the first 2 years of his career as a Brown Bear down there in Providence?
Yeah, I mean, right now Caron is our starter. We certainly want those other guys to push him as well, and I think they've done a good job of that in the first month here. But, he has the most experience, and his game is coming along over the course of the last month. I think for all our goalies, it was new to them, the practices, how we practice, and all those things. So it took a little bit of adjustment, I think, for all three of them. Mm-hmm. But you can just tell week to week they've gotten much more comfortable. And all of them have been very good, certainly lately.
I know, look back at the notes from when we talked. We had our exit interview at the end of last season after all was completed. And you talked about very openly about the fact that there is certainly room for improvement, and you expect improvement on your special teams units. Last year finished up at 20.5% on the power play. I think you're probably going to raise the bar higher in that area. And in the penalty kill was down around 79-80%. And I know it's early, and it's one of the last things you get to because of the defensive systems and being able to implement some of the other aspects of the team. But your look at the special teams, if you will, here in the early going, and the guys that you have that are going to be capable to be able to plug in and play those important spots on both sides.
Yeah, there's no question that that's the focus for our group this year. We focus a lot of the offseason talking about it as a staff, where we can make improvements, personnel, who's going to be on the power play units, who's going to kill penalties for us. So that's something we've really focused on. We've spent some time on it in the preseason here, and we'll continue to. We still have a few days to work on some things and tweak some things. But up to this point, we like what we see. But, it is early. I think it does take a little time to get both those units going the way you want them, but hopefully we can get off to a good start in our first game on both sides of it. You'll see some different combinations probably early, but we'll try to find what works best for us.
And Jay, team identity is another area revealed. I think they talk about character being revealed through adversity. I just think back to last season, it was just so clearly defined. You had some adversity right away after that first night at Michigan. You had a day off to kind of decompress and regroup. And boy, regroup with a very impressive win that really kind of set the tone there moving forward for the season to come back and beat Michigan in their own barn in the second game. Those situations kind of organically present themselves over the course of the year. But as you look at it, leadership, the beneficiary of Case McCarthy, the bad news obviously was the injury at the end of the year, but him coming back for a fifth year as a captain. How do you see the team identity? I know when you spoke at the after the scrimmage the other day, you talked about Ken Whittier and the job that he does with the team, with culture and so forth. But your perspective, the perspective of your staff, as you assess this team as they get ready to get out of the gate.
Yeah, I think having Case back is huge for us. And also, you know, Luke Tuck and Dylan Peterson, which we didn't know for sure those guys going into their fourth year. A lot of times guys going into their fourth year may sign a contract, but, you know, we're very happy to have those two guys back. That they're a big part of our leadership group. And Sam Stevens as well, and they're a big part of it. And they understand how we want to play, how we want to act, how we want to compete on and off the ice. And I think that goes a long way. And they show it by their actions. And that's the biggest part of it for our group is, you know, we can talk about it, all different things, but unless we're showing it every day, and that's the mindset our group has. I think you saw it last year, and we're a resilient group, and we responded very well when we had adversity. You know, we had through the beginning part of the year, just it was really more, you know, maybe we'd have a tough game and we'd respond, and then there after the going into the bean pot, we had a really fell into a rut, but again, we worked our way out of that, and I think went on to a 9-game win streak.
9 in a row.
A mistake.
That's right.
A mistake. And so yes. Our group responds very well. They know what it takes to win, and we're very lucky to have the leadership group we have. And also our younger guys, our freshmen that are now sophomores and the freshmen coming in, we have a mature group, and we have a very competitive group, and that goes a long ways. And you can see it from the new guys from day one that these guys want to compete. I mean, I even – you know, sometimes I have to pull them back a little bit, which is a good problem to have.
Absolutely. That's the best problem to have for a head coach. No doubt. That's right up at the top of the list. You can't have too many good players and healthy competition for playing time, and also to have the requisite competitiveness and attitude that goes forward each day. And finally, Jay, I guess I'll speak for Terrier Nation to say when you – it's not to think about the great expectations for this team, the buzz around this team as they get ready for this season to begin. I feel very confident in the fact, thinking of you, not just as a head coach now, but thinking of you as I introduced you the other day, always thinking as the captain of the 1995-96 Terriers, who better to have in charge than a guy that managed great expectations during a very precipitous time in BU history, auspicious time in BU history with what was accomplished in the 90s, a guy that played in four Frozen Fours and won a national championship all the way through his senior year and dealt with such great adversity. So if there's anybody that's up for that job and being able to manage that team and keep them focused from day to day, I feel very good about you.
I appreciate that, Bernie. Yeah, I think we knew going in the expectations were going to be high for our group. And you know, with social media and it's pretty easy to kind of find certain things and see certain things. And, you know, clearly we're top of a lot of the polls, but that doesn't mean too much. I don't think it certainly doesn't to me. And I don't feel like to our group either that they're not looking too far ahead. And I don't think they're really that impressed by it, to be honest with you, up to this, but we haven't even really spoken about it. I haven't heard of one player say one word about it. I don't know what they say behind closed doors when I'm not around or when our staff's not around, but these guys are pretty motivated. I think it was great for our team to get back to the Frozen Four last year, and these guys don't want to have a letdown. There's some unfinished business for a lot of the guys in that room, and they're trying to pull the new guys along and get them to understand, number one, how hard it is to get there, but also how fun it is when you become a team and accomplish something together. And I think That's certainly going to help us going into the start of the year. I don't think our guys are, you know, too affected by polls, and that's what I've seen so far. I just think the way they're coming to work every day has been very impressive, and I'm really happy with where we're at. And listen, I know we're going to go through some ups and some downs, but I like where our group's at right now.
Well, that's certainly heartening to, for me to hear, and for everybody in Terrier Nation will have an opportunity to check us out here on Inside BU Hockey. And final word, opening, not at home, but local, Waltham, great facility. I've only been out there once, but Bentley's Arena was open, I think, just 5 years ago. And a new coach with Andy Jones, who's spent his time with the UMass Lowell program and enjoyed great success. Just a quick thought or two about Bentley, your first opponent to open this season.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, we played them last year to start the year. This year we're going into their building. It's a great building. The fans are right on top of you. It should be a lot of fun. Hopefully it's, you know, pretty full. And honestly, don't really know what to expect from their team. I think a lot of new players, new coaching staff. But I think for us, and a lot of times last year as well, you know, we really want to focus on ourselves and how we're going to play more than worrying about other teams. I think that's really important for us to play at our best, and that's certainly going to help us just having that sort of mindset.
Indeed. Let the games begin. Saturday night it will begin, 7 o'clock puck drop in Waltham at Bentley for this 2023, long-awaited, much-anticipated 2023-24 Boston University hockey season. Jay, thanks very much. Appreciate it as always, and look forward to the beginning of the season as we talk to you on Inside BU Hockey all down the road here.
Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate it, buddy.
Jay Pandolfo joining us here on Inside BU Hockey as we get ready to begin the 23-24 season. Bernie Corbett, pleased to welcome on our very first episode of Inside BU Hockey for the 2023-24 season, the new coach of the Boston University women's team. I think we'll have to call this our time with Tara when we have her on. And we have with us Boston University head women's hockey coach, Tara Watchorn. Tara, welcome, and a very hearty welcome here for the first time that we'll have a chance to talk Boston University women's hockey for the new season.
Thank you, Bernie. Excited for the first one and hopefully many more.
Indeed. We look forward to that as we look forward to you taking the reins of the program. And just to educate the Terrier Nation a little bit about you, very proud Terrier, class of 2012, played on some very successful teams under Brian DeRocher, Hockey's champions twice, three trips to the national tournament, was part of the first Hockey East team to ever play for a national championship back in 2011. You were a two-time Hockey East and New England All-Star, a very illustrious career as a player, and also nationally and internationally representing your country of Canada. And later on, as far as your coaching career, spent time on the staff with Brian, 4 years as an assistant to Brian DeRocher, and working with team defense, player skill, and development, some of the main areas that you were concerned with. And then had an opportunity to step out and to gain experience as a head coach at Stonehill before assuming the responsibilities with the Boston University program. Tara, just to give us a little bit of background and some of what you've learned to prepare you now to become the head coach at Boston University. I know that Brian DeRocher has certainly been a big influence and been very impactful on your hockey career and really, I would assume, your life in general overall.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, from playing career to coaching career, Brian's been a huge piece of my development as a person. I think when I reflect on what's prepared me for this position, it starts from all the experiences I had as a player, and I was fortunate enough to compete at the highest levels. I've had some of the best coaches, Brian included, and playing for my national team. You know, for my country on the national team. So I think all of those experiences allowed me to really transition quickly into the coaching world. And I'm so grateful that it was Brian once again that gave me the head start and getting to start at the D1 level and at my alma mater. And my 4 years here were invaluable, learning from him on a different side of things. And just seeing his care for the program, his care for the community, and everything that's Boston University hockey. So learned a lot from Brian. And then my last 2 years obviously at Stonehill, getting head coach experience was huge. Huge for me to be able to step back into this role. I think for a lot of reasons, it excited me to go with the opportunity to build a program from scratch. And what that did was it gave me an entire year runway to obviously have to recruit the team, but I got to get a sense of all the administrative side of things and all the things that come along with being a head coach that isn't just coaching hockey. So I think that experience for me was a great fit for the timing of my career, and obviously got a year behind the bench with Stonehill as well, and didn't think it would be this quick, but I'm so grateful and so excited to be back at BU as a head coach.
Absolutely. It turned out from Stonehill, and once again, as you mentioned, building that program right from scratch, right from the ground up. And that translated into, we want to mention the accomplishments this past season, 17-15-2, 14-9-1 in the fledgling NEWHA, which my good friend Bob DiGregorio is the commissioner of. And you were named Coach of the Year for bringing your team along. So the learning curve was, I guess, very steep, but you navigated it with great aplomb.
Well, thank you. It was a pretty unforgettable year. We had I had a young group, I think 18 freshmen and four transfers, and it was such a cool experience to be able to just have everyone buy in. Everyone had such an ownership over our program. They all took a chance on it with me and what we wanted to create. And I always said that I knew that we could build the team up and hopefully peak at the right time and make a push in playoffs. I always felt confident about that, but I never thought that we would put together the body of work that we did. And I think that's a testament to those amazing young women who are D1 athletes. They deserve to play at that level, and I felt like a lot of great, you know, players were out there that got missed in that year that helped build our program. So big testament to those girls, but a really fun year, no doubt.
Oh, no question. And now bring us to Boston University, the business at hand, your responsibility now to take the helm of this program. Seventh place finish a year ago, 9-15-3, but a team that returns 9 of the 11 top scorers on the team, including a fifth-year captain, and also has added some transfers to the mix, which is certainly part of the college, the fabric of the college experience now. And as you came back to newly assess this team, what were some of the thoughts that immediately came to mind as you look to bring this team back and to develop and to get them out of the gate strong this year, Tara? Of course, you had familiarity with the number of players that you did know from the recruiting process.
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously coming back to your alma mater and being here not that long ago, the current seniors this year were freshmen when I was here last as an assistant coach. So I think the nature of all of that has really helped me hit the ground running. And I think that part has been huge and, you know, a whole new challenge of taking over a program versus building one from scratch. So for me, I mean, the biggest thing was just coming in and building relationships as quick as possible and getting a sense of where the team was at culturally and as a group. But like you mentioned, no doubt we have great, great experience on this roster. On the back end specifically, we have a lot of senior defensemen, great leadership returning, and all of our formal captains from last year, we got to make one addition. So in looking at this, yeah, like to me on paper, there's no reason this team can't have success. There's a lot of skill. And I think just coming in, like I said, getting a sense of where the culture is at and trying to get the group moving in the same direction and really buying into what we want our identity to be. And, you know, we're hopeful that when you do that, the wins will come.
Mentioned about experience on the blue line. And again, having a grad senior captain with Nadia Mativi returning, the Italian native, and also a name very much familiar to me because long relationship with the family, and you have Julia Shaughnessy back there as a senior. So leadership from the blue line is always a pretty good place to start, you being a former blue liner yourself.
No doubt. You always see the path for a defenseman being a little bit different, right? It's just more of a high-pressure situation. And, you know, I'll never forget when I was coaching the D a few years ago and all of that group were freshmen. It was a completely new challenge, but it is. It's exciting. Nadia brings great experience and maturity and professionalism. And I think it just lends to that ability to have that poise and presence when you're on the ice. And you're really seeing it already. And just the experience that they bring, and they all bring a different set of strengths. So really excited to see how that's going to help us this season.
And when you look at what's been added with the 10 newcomers, six are freshmen, but four are rather significant and potentially very impactful transfers. Case in point, I had some familiarity last year with following the women's side with the Welke sisters who were coming from the University of Maine. Just to give us some insight about them and what they could add from the on the offensive side of the game.
Yeah, the Welke sisters, Lily and Louisa, they had a great freshman year at the University of Maine, really helping that program. So I think there's no doubt they can be impactful. They have great experience at the college level already, at the international level, representing their country with Team Germany. So I think all of that experience and bringing more diversity to the group is just going to elevate our locker room. And they have such a passion for the game. You know, you can tell they're both so excited to be on the ice every day at practice. They're pushing the tempo and compete. And they just have a great IQ. Obviously, they play well together and love to be in the offensive zone, being creative and creating quality scoring chances.
And Hockey East all-rookie team member Brooke Disher returning. I know you're very excited about her return.
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, I was a part of the recruiting process for a good amount of these young women, and Brooke was one of them. And so fun now getting to come back and actually get to coach her. And it was fun to watch from afar the freshman year that she had, and really excited to keep pushing her forward. And no doubt she'll be impactful for us.
Also, in the transfer portal, you've added Annie Fitzgerald from Northeastern, and for one of your netminders also with Alexi Matsis.
Yeah, for sure. Annie was actually here last year that both of us joined, both of them joined from Northeastern. So Alexa joining this year, she's been amazing in practice so far. I think, you know, she was in net for them, again, with a really good roster for the last 4 years, obviously with Alina Mueller and those kind of players get facing those shots every day. And I think we're seeing that experience already in practice, just that situational awareness, ability to anticipate. She's really elevating our group and excited to see what she'll bring this year.
Yeah, she'll be in goal. And you also have added a freshman at that position with Mary Peterson.
Yeah, Mari has some great experience as well. I got to work with her with Team Canada at the under-18 team for the World Championships in Madison, and she ended up working to be our starter and be the go-to in some of those big games. So what I love about Mari is that she's a gamer. It gets excited for high-pressure situations, is able to keep her team in games, and we'll be looking to have her help us here, no doubt.
And overall, pretty good opportunity out of the gate. I was going to say, when I heard that you're going up to play McGill in Montreal, I was almost like, where do I sign up to get that gig? I haven't been to Montreal for a while, probably for the safety of the people of Montreal, but that's another story. But at any rate, anytime you talk Montreal and you talk hockey, you know, put me in, coach, count me in. That must have been a great experience for you to bring the Lady Terriers up there and have an opportunity to play McGill in an exhibition game to tune up for this season.
It really was. I can tell you, Bernie, when I first got this job, one of my instincts was fresh staff, you know, fresh start for the program. What better to do than get on a bus trip and bond and go somewhere? So funny, I know one of our alumni, Kayla Patino, is the associate head coach there and knew the head coach pretty well. And it was a no-brainer. We've had this kind of queued up for a long time now, and I'm just so grateful to the trip really came to fruition. You know, we went up a day early, got to practice on site, went on a team hike, got to really explore Montreal and just have those organic experiences as a group. And then on top of that, we have a lot of local alum in the area, and we reached out and engaged them. We did a little bit of an alumni panel and jersey presentation. So I think all in all, we really accomplished what we wanted and just building our relationships and creating those shared experiences, and got to play a great hockey team while we were at it and get a lot of good practice that way. So I'd say a good trip going into the season.
Did you hike up Mount Royal?
We sure did. Yep. Not too, you know, it's not too long of a hike, but great views of the city. It was perfect for what we wanted.
I've run up on Mount Royal there before, and it is. It's a long way up, and it's a tough run, but boy, the view is worth it, though. I'm glad you brought that up.
You ran up there? Good for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've enjoyed all aspects of Montreal when I've been there. It's been a lot of fun. And you mentioned about alums. Was there any visitors that might be employed by the Montreal Canadiens over the course of the weekend?
If you're alluding to Maritza Lipp, yes, she came to the game on the Saturday there and came and actually met with our girls after in the locker room. So pretty amazing, and just, you know, talking about her passion for the Terrier group, and it was awesome to have her come amongst many others.
And what did you learn overall about your team? Was a successful outing, outshot by a pretty decided margin, 1-8 on the power play. Gave up a couple of power play goals, the only two goals, a 5-2 victory. And nice to see the offense was spread around. Also, Terry, you had five different goal scorers, so I would assume a lot of positives to take out of the game.
A lot of positives, no doubt. Like you said, it was great to get on the scoreboard, and with five different goal scorers, we really have been focusing. We started with offense first. You know, I like to say you sell defense with offense, and that's really been a big focus of ours, and puck management on how to create momentum in games. So it was great. We learned a lot, tried different lines out, and there was a lot of special teams in that game, which, you know, personally I was really happy about. We got a lot of practice on the power play. The PK were still rolling out in phases, and so from the aggressive mentality that we started with, I'm happy to see that, you know, kind of take formation, and we'll keep building. So a lot of good to take away from that game.
And you certainly jump right in with both skates, if you will, this weekend. You begin regular season play. You begin in Hockey East. And, oh, by the way, you begin with crosstown rival Northeastern, who has certainly been the dominant team in, they've been the alpha dog, if you will, in Hockey East of recent vintage on the women's side. Your thoughts as you get ready for a home-and-home series? You'll begin at home at Walter Brown Arena on Friday for your very first regular season game as head coach, and then travel over to historic Matthews Arena on Saturday. As I always say, the ancestral home of BU hockey this weekend. And your preparation and your feelings about this weekend as you get ready to drop the puck and get started in earnest.
So excited. I think it's going to hit me more and more, as you alluded to, first regular season game behind the bench as head coach, but just really excited for our group to see where we're at. What a great test to start the season. For me, the way that we've kind of broken down our yearly training plan is this is going to kind of wrap up our phase two, our preseason, and then we'll have a weekend off after, and we'll transition into the next phase of competition. But this is, like I just said, kind of that final test to see what we've built. Where is our foundation? Where is that identity that we've been focusing on for the last 4 or 5 weeks? And it's going to be great to see where we're at. Northeastern's going to be a great test. They obviously have a great goalie back there with Glenys Phillips, and we'll see if we can continue to produce like we did last weekend.
Indeed. We wish you all the best this weekend getting started, Tara, with the Lady Terriers as you get ready for the challenge of the Northeastern Huskies in that home-and-home series. My final question, I have to ask you this because of the fact that you were part of, I think, arguably one of the great rivalries of modern times in sports. I mean, 11 years that you were part of the national program for Team Canada, gold medalist. How special is that U.S.-Canada rivalry, and how great is the prestige for you and the credibility? I can only imagine you in a recruiting situation when you go into a home in the U.S. or Canada or anywhere to be able to say that you were part of that at the very highest level. I have really enjoyed all the compelling aspects of that U.S.-Canada rivalry on the women's side.
I mean, it's hard to put words to. You're playing the best in the world, and you get to represent your country doing it. I think anyone that's got to be a part of that rivalry can say how much we've all grown through it, and how much of an honor and privilege it is. Every time I got to put on the Team Canada jersey, and especially when we got to play the U.S., it was unforgettable experiences. And, you know, with regards to the recruiting process, I always say whether it was the times for me as a player in that rivalry, as a coach now with the U18 program, all those experiences made me a better person and coach today, and I get to give that back to the young women that come through our program. And that's where it serves our program and the girls that come here to BU. So I'm just, you know, grateful that I've got to grow and have those experiences, and they all kind of helped me be the coach that I am today.
Well said, Tara. And once again, best of luck. Let the games begin. Drop the puck on the Tara Wachorn era for Boston University as you succeed your mentor, Brian DeRocher. And we'll be looking forward to our time with Tara all during the 2023-24 season. All the best.
Thanks, Bernie.
Tara Wachorn, our guest here, getting us started for the new season on Inside BU Hockey.
And welcome back to the Boston University Alumni Golf Tournament here 2023 down at Black Rock in Hingham. We're on the South Shore. Tough for all the North Shore guys to come to the South Shore, but I guess it's a compromise. Last year we were on the North Shore. You know, I always say, living on the North Shore, I come to the South Shore, I might as well be in Beirut, Lebanon. It's as far as my familiarity with places like Hingham. But we are in Hingham. We're enjoying ourselves today. And I got the right ring on because I have the 1995 ring on right now. And, of course, that is the man that is in front of me right now, the captain of the 1995 national champions, Boston University Hall of Fame 2010, I believe. Yes? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just go with me. Yeah, 2010. None other than the pride of South Bend, numero 24, Jacques Joubert. Jacques, n'est-ce pas? Jacques, great to have you with us, and great to really festive atmosphere as always. And an opportunity to for you, you're not a golfer, you're kind of a dedicated non-golfer like me, you're not old enough yet, but a great turnout from a lot of your former teammates here today.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I come. It's always fun to see the guys and feel like you're 20 again or 25, as some of them may be, but they're all golfing. I managed to hit only two shots today. But, you know, just good time to see everybody, not only from your era, but the other eras as well, and get to know some people.
And great to kind of bring everybody together. And I guess if there was anybody that was maybe the least surprised by the success that Jay Pandolfo had this year, it might have been the guy that I'm talking to right now, because I don't think there's anybody closer to the current head coach, Jay Pandolfo. You and Jay have had a long-standing, very close relationship.
Yeah, almost since the day he arrived. He was became one of my better friends. His family kind of took me in and would spend some of the vacations and, you know, Thanksgivings at their house. And I just stayed in touch with him throughout his kind of pro career with New Jersey and everywhere he went. And we'd always been close. And once he started coaching with the Bruins and then this BU thing looked like it might happen, been in close contact with him and just knew the quality of the person he was and knew that he'd have great success here right out of the gate, and so far he has.
And a lot of buzz about next season. I mean, the resurgence this season, going all the way to the Frozen Four, falling just short, but I mean, I can't remember more anticipated BU season than this season coming up.
Yeah, you know, to get that season under their belt with Jay and the new staff and do so well, and then everybody kind of knows what they have coming in, what they have coming back. The team, from a talent perspective, should be, you know, as good as anybody probably in the country. And, you know, if they can come together like they did this year, who knows, be back at the Frozen Four and potentially go a little bit further.
Yeah, just a little bit further. And, of course, you were denied the opportunity of going to Tampa. I believe that you were several time zones away, as I remember.
That is correct. Unfortunately or fortunately, my daughter was studying, as I like to loosely say, in air quotes, studying in Australia. So we had pre-planned a trip with the rest of the family to Australia and New Zealand. So I was actually trying to follow the Minnesota game out on a boat in the near the Great Barrier Reef, literally.
Yeah. We try to go as far as possible to give you the coverage of BU hockey.
That's right.
And we reach the Great Barrier Reef and beyond. But well, hopefully lightning strikes again, and if the Terriers are back in St. Paul, there'll be a much shorter trip for you from Chicago to St. Paul.
From Chicago, I can make that one. And I'm also, I've got the South Bend, Indiana weekend asterisked already.
Yes.
So
in October, we'll be right in your backyard for the Notre Dame weekend.
Two games at Notre Dame. I plan to be there for those.
Absolutely. Jack, as you look back, and I mean, you know, the national championship's an obvious one, but if you look back on your BU career, is there anything that could particularly, was there a game or anything that particularly, I've asked you this before, that really stands out that you can recount about what the BU experience was all about for you?
Boy, it's tough to pinpoint one thing. And
won an awful lot of games, by the way.
Yeah, we did win a lot of games, but, you know, even with the guys today, we, as much as it was awesome to win, we still think the core of that team that we should have won two, maybe, or maybe more. And sometimes those losses sting a little more than the, and stick with you a little more than the wins do. But the turning point probably was that loss 9-1 in a championship game against Lake State.
The year before.
And that sting was enough to motivate us all for the next year and to come back. And we were pretty determined that was not going to happen again. And, you know, as fate would have it, we came back and redeemed ourselves, which is nice.
That was a team on the mission, on a mission from day one, focused to win a national championship, accomplished that. And of course, that just struck a nerve, because wouldn't it be something if Coach Pandolfo was back in St. Paul with a chance to win a national championship and erase the memory of 1994.
Yeah, that's right. 94 was the clear glass of the old St. Paul Civic Center, something that'll never clearly go out of my head. And if they could get back there next year, maybe that would be the eraser I need, be there in person and watch them take the title.
Absolutely. My final point, you mentioned about following Jay and his pro career. You had a similar experience to me. We just had Ray Bourque on Games People Play recently, and we're talking about Ray Bourque winning with Colorado. And I remember you were in the lobby at Brendan Byrne Arena. I was in the lobby. We had the Drury family on one side, the Pandolfo. As I said, I felt like the president at the Army-Navy game. You know, who do I talk to here? I don't want to offend anybody. You know, I got John Drury. I got Joe Pandolfo. What do I do? You were in a similar position.
I was. I'll never forget being at that game. It was Game 7, Avalanche versus Devils, and you know, former teammates and good friends on both sides. So either way, there was going to be, you know, a winner, as they say, but there was also going to be a loser. And, you know, at the time, I was probably closer to the Pandolfo family and Jay than I was the Drury's, but,
right,
you know, they were still former teammates. And it was kind of a weird experience, to be honest, because the Devils end up losing, but, you know, Ray Bourque gets his cup and Chris Drury wins the cup. And we still had a fun time in Colorado, and I'm sure Jay wasn't too thrilled, but we ended up going out with the Avs that night and having some fun.
Made the most of it. All the day in the life of a Terrier, it's all part of it, Jock, the experience.
That's right, and the good thing about being a BU Terrier is this room right here and all these guys, and
bringing
once you're
together,
a part of it, you're always a part of it, no matter where you are and kind of wherever your life takes you. So that's why everybody's here, and that's the best part about it.
Jack, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, love it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, no gift certificate. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, welcome back once again. Our special coverage of the Boston University Alumni Golf Tournament. Bernie Corbett, still the voice of the Terriers, unless there was a vote that I don't know about recently. Great to be joined here, part of the Boston Bruins staff. Now, how many years now, Joe Sacco?
Just finished 9 years.
Nine, almost a decade with the Bruins staff.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but yeah. It's been very rewarding. It's been a lot of fun.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
A little bit of stress involved, but not much. No.
There's always some stress involved, especially, you know, being from Boston and being, you know, raised in this local market here. But it's been a lot of fun. We've had real competitive teams since I've been here, and it's been a real treat to work with all the players that I've been able to work with over the course of those years.
No question. And a little touch of family. I've got to know your son, Matt, who's working with the team now and helping Jay and the coaching staff.
Yeah, that's been great. I know that he volunteered some time last season with Jay, and Jay and his staff were nice enough to bring him on board and kind of show him the ropes. And Matt, I think, handled some pre-scouts for them and some other stuff during the game. And I know that it's a great way for him to get his foot in the door, and he's got a passion for the game as well. So,
A lot of times, Joe, there's a complete turnover in the coaching staff, but it was an exception last year. You stayed on from Bruce Cassidy to Jim Montgomery. The experience with Jim Montgomery and the record-setting regular season was remarkable.
Yeah, it was historic, right? I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was one of those situations where, you know, you just get on the right side of it and you're starting to win hockey games. And even when you're not at your best, good teams, you know, they always say you find a way to win. Our goaltenders played well when we didn't have our best. If our goalies weren't at their best, we'd find a way to score five or six that night.
Fill
right?
the net.
Yeah,
yep.
So it was a combination of a lot of good things, but we had our group was really determined to kind of see it through last year, especially with a couple of the guys questionable coming back. You know, they were thinking about their retirement, so they tried to make it a special year. Unfortunately, you know, we lost in that first round of the playoffs, but besides that, it was a real good season.
Indeed. And you got a core group coming back, and hopefully you'll be primed for another run this year.
Yeah, we'll be competitive, no question. Yep. I think when you look at our group, we have a terrific defense still. We have great goaltending. I think the question for us will be our scoring depth up front. We're going to have to get some depth scoring, because we know certain guys are going to score on our team, but when they can't or when they get shut down, we need our other guys to step up. And that's where I think the question for us will be our depth scoring.
And getting together with guys today, I know you enjoy it. I think we got a cap on how many guys from Medford can be here.
because Batesy actually brought a friend. That's a little dangerous. But you get together with a group of guys that you long standing just to talk about the guys that are on your team here today.
We didn't bring my brother David, so we're still under the cap, right? Right. We're at three, under three. We're under four, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Every year I come here, this is such a great tournament. It's always nice to see guys that you've played with along the way, or
Mike
people
Sullivan.
That have played in front before you or after you. Like, I look at this the group now, and the kids, they're so young. I mean, I remember coming here when I was air race saying, who are all these old guys playing golf? And now they're looking at us, and that's us now. So
right.
We were just talking about that, Mike Sullivan and I. And so I got to play with Sully today and Tom Dion, who's my old roommate.
Captain 92 team.
Brought my son on board, and it's just a great tournament. It always feels good to come here and, like I said, see the guys, support the program. The program's obviously had a great year last year. It seems like it's headed in the right direction. Didn't take long. I knew Jay would do a great job here. I had the fortune of working with Jay for a few years in Boston, so it's it doesn't surprise me.
Absolutely. You guys were part of Bruce Cassidy's staff for long standing, so absolutely no surprise there for the way that the resurgence of the program this year was really impressive. And looking ahead, a lot of optimism for this year. I think it's going to be an exciting season.
Yeah, and I think it should be. I think with the with the staff Jay put in place, obviously, with the year they had last year, they're still, I know they had some seniors that they lost, but they've got a good young core there, and I would imagine that the recruiting class coming in is going to be solid. I don't know it that well, but I have all the confidence in the world in the staff and with Jay there, and it's a good time to be a Terrier.
Indeed. One last question, Joe. Favorite memory as a Terrier during your playing career? I always go back to the curtain call after knocking North Dakota out when it was like a concert. Nobody wanted to leave until you guys came back on the ice and saluted everybody before they went home.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was certainly one of them. It was incredible. I would say probably as a team, one of the best memories I have would be beating Michigan State, though, in Michigan State.
Absolutely.
Losing the first game, I believe.
Yes, and then
winning
the next two
in Michigan State, which was a really good team.
They were number one in the country.
We ended up going to the Final Four after that. We ended up, unfortunately running into a hot goaltender that year. But that would be from a team standpoint. And then individually, I had scoring the five goals against Northeastern in the Hockey East playoffs.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
I mean,
yeah, you got five.
I can't forget that. But I had a lot of great memories at BU and, winning a bean pot, obviously, right up there. So. Just a lot of good times.
Yeah, we ran into that hot goalie from Colgate, who, by the way, was trained by Brian DeRocher. It all comes full circle.
Yeah, that figures.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not surprised.
Always
the
Terriers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Joe Sacco joining us here from the Boston University Alumni Golf Tournament.